You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Thursday, 29 July. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Houghton, Johannesburg. On the show today, chatting with Martin Smith, dividends or share buybacks, the NASPERS process, implats, lots happening there at this point. AECI results, I must say, digging through them, the group is just broadly looking like it is more efficient than it was, not so much last year, of course, pandemic, but the year before that. And then talking with Carmen Noel from Matrix Fund Managers, the impact on the looting of SA's economy. We chatted with PwC just after it had happened. Now we're, 2 weeks down the road. I want to get a better picture of what implications are. Rating manager, sort of ratings, etc., inflation and the like. This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Some morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Treasury fines $36.2 billion, but SA's fiscal situation remains serious. Same as last year, tax collections running ahead of projections, largely thank you to the miners. Business Day, smaller coal miners squeezed by lack of demand. A fascinating story. Large firms benefiting from booming prices, but the smaller emerging miners are at the mercy of Eskom, and Eskom has built a giant-sized stockpile, so are simply buying less. Morning markets, the US was mixed. S&P was less than a point down, 0.02%. NASDAQ was up 0.4%. Asia was green. Sydney and Tokyo both 0.4% green. Commodities mostly green overnight. Gold, $1,819 an ounce. Rand, 1474, that's where it was a day ago. Top 40, we're looking for about a 480-point green open. That's 0.75%. That as Tencent in China trades up 8.4% this morning.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Martin Smith, portfolio manager, Anchor Capital. Martin, morning. Appreciate the early morning time. Update from Implats yesterday. In a sense, another platinum miner, another bunch of super profits. Skulk Low was tweeting that the stock was 20 Rand 3 years ago, and now they're going to pay almost a 25 Rand earnings per share. These platinum miners really are in a great space. My question to you, dividends or share buybacks? We've seen the Anglo stable paying dividends. Do you have a preference as an investor for one or the other?
I was just about to say, if they were going to follow Amplats and Kumba, it would be dividends. Saw massive yields coming out of those two businesses in the last week or so, which was very well received by investors. And I think what we saw out of the Implats update yesterday was not a massive amount of detail, but pretty much as we expected, right? I mean, given the strength in PGM prices and what we've seen across the board, I think we're expecting strong earnings and a strong free cash flow to come through. So usually they pay about 30% of free cash flow formally. Mm-hmm. That's a dividend plan, but I think we could see that a little bit more. And you make the point there. What do they do with excess cash? Because obviously they're going to have a lot of it. And I think importantly is that it goes back to shareholders, which is something that we've seen across the board from these commodity stocks. From a preference perspective, I wouldn't say I have a massive preference between the two. As long as it's getting returned to shareholders, yeah. I guess is my answer.
Yeah, no. As long as we as the shareholders and if you've been a long term PGM shareholder, you've been a long term suffering shareholder. Now is the payday. I mentioned in my intro there, Tencent up 8.4%. We saw strong bounce in process NASPERS yesterday. You mentioned before we came on air, Alibaba, other tech stocks having a good day. Is this the Chinese panic over, or is it sort of over until next time China decides to swat down some big tech giants?
I hope it's over. And I mean, there's been a lot of kind of rumblings in the background. I mean, we had the Ant Group IPO. We've seen the news out of DD as well. So, I mean, I'm hoping we're at the end of this kind of regulatory cycle. I thought that was the case a little while ago when Alibaba had to pay that fine. and I thought everything was kind of in the rearview mirror. So it's anyone's guess as to how long this continues. It was always our kind of our strategy to kind of just hold the positions, not panic, and mm-hmm. and see where things go. And it seems like they're trying to find a bit of kind of sustainability. I think we had a comment out of China yesterday, kind of midday, that recent declines are unsustainable and the market will stabilize quickly. And I think that also is one of the reasons why Naspers kind of picked its head up towards the end of the day. So, yeah, I think that's the one key. I think the other thing is also it's going to make South African investors look at their overall Naspers and process exposure, because I think everyone has massive chips on the table. And I think it's an interesting one just as South Africans as to kind of looking at your overall kind of makeup in one stock, right?
Yeah, it's suddenly we're realizing that, you know, China's great on the way up, but it can hurt on the way down. A quick last question. York Timber, probably a stock I'm suspecting very few people follow. It's up almost 50% this week. Suddenly we're seeing some asset managers take big positions. I mean, does this sort of catch your eye and you rush off and think there's something here? Or if it's a stock that you weren't kind of following, you know, it's of passing interest.
Yeah, I wish we had this conversation a week ago, because like you said, it's up about 50%. And I think it speaks to the point that, I mean, even sort of with a business like Imperial Logistics, which is obviously not York Timber, but I think it speaks to the fact that there's a lot of value on the JSE existing kind of all over the place. And I think we will see, as kind of risk appetite increases and the world returns to normal, I think we'll see these things being bought up and stakes being taken, because again, the multiples are very good on a lot of these businesses. So definitely one that I'm going to have a look at kind of after the fact. I mean, they printed at the half year about 13 cents.
Yeah.
Share price is R2.72 at the moment. So it's definitely an interesting one, but I would suspect that this is not the only interesting play on the JSE at the moment.
Yeah, and if we can get in before those, absent of a time machine, we need to get into these before somebody else finds them. That's the hard part. Martin Smith, Portfolio Manager, Anchor Capital, appreciate the early time this morning. A poll which we are asking you on our LinkedIn and Twitter accounts, the implats, it's staggering. Your share is up 10x. Your dividend is going to be more than it was 3 years ago. Were you buying PGM miners back at those lower levels? Nope, not me. That was certainly me. Perhaps you were. Your returns are awesome. Or perhaps it's where's that time machine? You can have your vote. You can have your say on our LinkedIn and Twitter profiles.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with AECI CEO Mark Data. Results out 6 months June. Revenue up 5%, but HEPS up 120%. Gearing sitting at 27%. That's down from 32% in the previous period. An interim dividend of 180 cents. Mark, appreciate the early morning time. If I delve into the numbers and I went back, and I wasn't so much looking at 2020 pandemic and like, I had to look back at 2019. My sense is AECI, a company that is running, frankly, more efficiently than it was 2 years ago. And I struggled to quite put my finger on it, but just the you know, revenue's a little bit up, HEPS a lot up, a much better positioned company in 2021. Is that a fair comment?
Good morning, Simon. Yes, I think it is. And, well, it definitely is, because you can see from the numbers. And I think relative to 2019, we've actually done pretty well. It's been around, you know, the strategy, restructuring of the business, focusing on certain markets and growth areas that we feel, you know, will be sustainable in the future, you know, for water, agri, and, of course, mining has always been with us. So we've actually pulled the company in the right position that we'd like it now. Mm-hmm. And I think looking at the results yesterday, you can see, you know, we're really gearing up for the future and actually to take opportunities for what are out there.
What are your water operations? Because, I mean, it's the one, you know, it's something which for two decades now I've been keeping an eye on sort of the water industry as something I think which is going to be, you know, get more and more important as time moves on. What are your operations in that space?
Yeah, so, you know, we you know, in the past we moved very much into more the heavy industrial side, which is really the cooling water boilers. But unfortunately, our manufacturing sector in South Africa, and you've seen the likes of Engen, Petra SA, and Aston that are still down, that's taken a lot of the wind out of the sails of everybody in those industries. So what we have been doing, and we've been successfully moving into water reuse and recycling, and I think that fits well in terms of ESG and sustainability.
Yeah.
A lot of businesses are now focusing on how, you know, to bring the effluent back, lock it into drains, and actually have more water for drinking water available. So that's a big effort of ours. And of course, we've moved very much into the continent and doing a lot of municipal and wastewater up there and bringing new technologies in there, which I think is very exciting for us. So, you know, and the mines are also looking, being pushed now by ESG to actually do something about their water and communities. So I think great opportunity for us, and we're taking it with both hands at the moment.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those sectors. I mean, you mentioned global warming, water is a huge part of that. Yeah. You mentioned ESG, water is a huge part of that. You mentioned moving into the rest of the continent. What, about 55-60% of your business is within South Africa? Is sort of offshore growth part of your strategies? Obviously growing internally, but actually trying to perhaps get sort of more from the rest of the continent and the rest of planet Earth?
Yeah, so I think that's a strategy that we did present to our shareholders a few years ago, is purposely trying to, obviously with the volatility of the rand and, of course, you know, the manufacturing sector that is just not growing here, you know, we've had to look for other areas of growth. So in mining, definitely on the continent, you know, we've been there for a number of years, and we've seen great expansions now with the boom coming. So we see mines coming back online, mines being reopened. So I think the great opportunities are there. But also importantly, we've moved into Europe and North America and Australia and South America. So, you know, we spread our wings, and we've just gained a really considerable size contract in Australia in the mining sector, in our sweet spot. And so I think, you know, we actually de-risking ourselves just from one geography and actually being a more international business.
Yeah. You mentioned in the results that some of your mining is not yet back up and open and the like. How much are supply chains still a challenge for you, or is that sort of largely settled down?
No, and I think the globe is still seeing the after effects of supply chain. You know, you're seeing still in Europe components and chips into cars is affecting those industries.
Yeah.
We're affecting delays in shipping. We can't get ships to stop in South Africa or export out of South Africa at the moment. Containers you can't get. And raw materials prices are escalating. You've been put on escalation, on allocation. So I think we're going to see this at least for the next 9 to 12 months, you know, as the world starts to come back from COVID and settle down, and supply chain starts to come in and normalizing, because I think, you know, there's a lot of capacity taken out over the last 18 months.
Yeah, okay, another 9 to 12 months. That's a way off. That takes us through middle of next year. We'll leave it there. Mark Data, CEO, AECI, on their results to 6 months in June. Appreciate the early morning.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Carmen Noe, economist and macro strategist at Matrix Fund Managers. Carmen, appreciate the early morning time. A note you put out talking around the violence of what was now a little over, 2 weeks ago, mostly KZN, a little bit in Gauteng as well. Talking around the different impacts, GDP, inflation, credit ratings and the like. The GDP, you make the point, probably about half to maybe 1% lower. In the medium term, we might actually get a bit of a pickup thanks to some of those repairs, but this is something which is going to be with us for a while in terms of investor confidence, foreign investor sentiment towards South Africa. This could have a potential longer term impact in a space, GDP, which as a country we can ill afford.
Hi, Sam. Yes, I think we obviously are very focused on the short term impact. So You saw yesterday the Treasury announce various support measures totaling almost 40 billion rand. And a lot of analysts have cited the upside, of the unrest would be the rebuilding.
Yeah.
I do think there is still a risk, as you note, that we are overemphasizing the short-term impact and underappreciating the long-term cost. And that is because private business will now be a lot more circumspect and careful in terms of investment, unless there is clear action on the part of government to start accelerating reform. So that's sort of what we view as the silver lining, is this is a potential catalyst, very much the way we saw in June when the president announced the increase in the threshold for embedded generation to 100 megawatts. So this could be something that I don't think it completely turns the ship around. That takes many years, but starts moving us in the right direction in terms of, helping small and medium-sized businesses, because ultimately they are the job creators.
Yeah, almost that shock to the system, and suddenly everyone's eyes are wide open and we start doing some of that reform. Inflation's the other sort of significant point. And you comment that, again, short-term you're going to see some supply chain disruptions, and that could certainly have impact. But moving further out, probably not a major impact into our inflation numbers, which have been running sort of, been a bit high, but we're in that mid-zone of what the governor and the Reserve Bank is looking for.
Yes, I think there are lots of various and sort of competing factors impacting on our inflation rate. I think one, until recently, the rand was quite resilient and sort of dampened inflation pressure. Big question there, and is what global dynamics are. Is the Fed going to, unwind their quantitative easing? Could that impact on the currency? Mm-hmm. It didn't really react too negatively at the time of the social unrest. Supply chain disruptions, as in your previous interview, those globally have had an impact on some of our prices, for example, in the producer price index, but not so much on the CPI. I think a key dynamic will be what consumption demand will be and what wage settlements will be. So again, the government sector and the fact that they finalize their wage settlement for the coming year or for the current year help give some certainty. It's a bit higher than we initially thought. But overall, the fact that the economy, as you know, is not doing well and hasn't been doing well even pre-COVID has had a dampening impact on inflation, which means then the South African Reserve Bank doesn't necessarily have to be in an extreme hurry to start raising interest rates.
Yeah, and that does help us. The big point, perhaps, is the rating agencies and our sovereign credit rating. Now, we are in non-investment grade, which is fancy talk for essentially junk status. I mean, this has to have some impact onto that, or will the rating agencies sort of take a wait and see, depending how we respond to your earlier point, is do we seize this opportunity?
So, yes, I think in the very short term, so basically in the second half of this year, the rating agencies will again review the credit rating. As you know, we're in what they call the double B category. I think they would want to wait to see how things pan out. I think the constraint we have now is that we are basically using our bumper tax revenues because of very high global commodity prices to support the economy in the short term, but we're not doing anything really to meaningfully address the long term. And we have to implement those reforms now to get growth up in year 3 to 5, basically. So I do think that the pressure, unfortunately, is still on the downside in terms of the credit rating, unless we see action now. I think there is still time to at least stabilize the rating. I think we can only talk about rating upgrades if you start seeing, for example, your growth rate, you know, reach something like 2.5 to 3% on a sustained basis, and you actually start seeing your debt ratio, the government's debt ratio, stabilize and actually start to decline, which is still some way off given all the demands on the government purse.
Yeah, and with our economy, you know, we are fortunate that the commodity prices are benefiting us. That really came at the right time. We need to become independent of that common. No, economist and macro strategist Matrix Fund Managers, appreciate the early morning. That's it for today. Our poll yesterday on LinkedIn and Twitter, we were asking about work from home. We've been chatting to Momentum Corporate about it. And the question was, what's your view on it? About a third of you said that you want to stay at home. They're like, nope, you don't want to ever go back to the office. Almost 10% of you miss the office and think, nope, let's go back to that. The answer, which I think is probably how it's going to play out, although we've got to negotiate and work this out, is a blend. More than 60% of you said, can we do some work from home and some office? And I think that is what businesses are going to have to do, and certainly what we've seen from a bunch of them. You can have your vote, you can have your say on LinkedIn and Twitter. The show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Remember, we're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast available just after 7. Huge thanks to my team, Eddie, Kudora, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contributions. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.